Hi, this is Sam Lagana with the Los Angeles Rams. Whose house? You're listening to the Los Angeles Rams UK podcast. Undenied worldwide. The Los Angeles Rams. It doesn't get any better than this. Let's go Rams.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of the LA Rams UK podcast, episode 88, Calm Seas Don't Make Good Sailors. I'm John and as always, I'm joined by Andy. Andy, how's it going, mate?
I'm all right, thanks, mate. How are you?
it's deja vu, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Another week, another loss, but apart from that, I'm all right.
At least we've got a couple of things to talk about this week that are a bit more upbeat, shall we say, depending on your mood.
Yeah, because we've got a couple of things to focus about that's for the first time not game related and not injury related. So this is probably, I can't remember the last time I don't know if it's happened this season when we've had something like positive we can talk with from start. But before, obviously, we're here about to go over the week 13 loss to the Seahawks, preview the Thursday night matchup against the Raiders, and we'll also tell you how we got on with the second round of the Rams World Cup and tell you how the quarterfinals are going to look. But first of all, we want to jump right in. The big news this week, of course, is Baker Mayfield is now a Ram. So, no one's been living under a rock. Everyone will have seen it. Baker Mayfield asked for his release from the Panthers. He went up for waivers and the Rams were the only team who claimed for him. Andy, initial thoughts? Happy about this? Or do you think, like some people, that this season's done, why are we wasting our time here?
No, I think personally it's a good move. I can understand when people are saying the season's done, what's the point? But at the end of the day, this gives maybe not so much anyone else, but it allows these second wide receivers to maybe have a bit of a better quarterback throwing the ball to them than what we've got with Wolford and Perkins, which will then maybe allow the backroom staff and McVay to analyse these players and say, you know, who's going to keep for the squad next year and not. And not only that, you know, if he plays well enough for us and we can get him maybe back on a cheap, you know, deal, because his contract is up at the end of this season, you know, he's an ideal, if nothing else, a number two behind Stafford. And not only that, depending on what happens with Stafford and what this neck contusion stuff's all about, potentially a insurance policy so that if he's, you know, Stafford's not, we're not even sure at the moment whether he's going to be back for next season, you know, to start, or whether he's just going to literally be like, sorry, this injury is too much, you know, he's going to have to retire because of this injury. So, you know, Mayfield at least give us that option where we could look at him and say, right, you know what, if it comes to the crunch, you've, you know, Stafford retires or can't go, it's right, you've got this chance to put yourself either on the market for a big contract or for the team to look at him as potentially, well, you know what, if we can get him firing, he'll be, you know, an ideal replacement for Stafford. And, you know, people, I can understand people say, oh, he's not very good, he's not this, he's not that. But at the end of the day, at the Browns, they were mainly a run-first team. When you've got Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, they're going to smash it down your throat. The Panthers, under Matt Rhule, I'm not being funny, their offense is stale, stagnant, it's just not good. You know, Mayfield reminds me a lot of Goff coming out when he came out of college. I thought they were pretty similar quarterbacks. And we all saw what McVay could do with a quarterback like Goff. So I think, give a bit of time, that could be sort of the level that Mayfield could get to under McVay.
Yep. For me, when I seen that Mayfield was going for waivers, before I'd even seen anything online, just when I seen that kind of announced, I thought, pardon my French, fuck it, claim him. What have we got to lose? We've seen enough of Wilford. You know, granted, you know, as we'll talk about the game, like, it was a bit better, but we've spoken about it a few weeks now, like, our backup quarterback situation is, to be honest, not good enough to give us any kind of confidence that, you know, when we're in a position like we are now, where Stafford's out, he's on IR, that we've got just a backup that could step up and, you know, still put some, you know, wins on the board for us as well as points. So my initial thought was claim him, because it's only like $1.35 million for, you know, 4 or 5 games. That's fine. Take the hit. It gives, like you say, it gives like guys like Atwell. Pill's out for this week, but you know, guys like McCutcheon can maybe get some more reps. You know, it gives us a chance to evaluate these younger guys more and to see, like, well, are they worth keeping on the roster? Because, no offence to them, Wilfred and Perkins aren't going to give them the kind of workout that you would need to make those kind of decisions. So from a coaching perspective, with in mind and the other guys on their offense, you know, your targets, whatever, it's good from that perspective. The other reasons also because, like, Garoppolo is out for the season. Like, everyone was a lot of media guys were getting like going on, oh, is San Francisco be a great place for him to go? And I thought, fuck it, claim him just to spite them.
Yeah, it stops them. Exactly.
You know, I don't care if we'll bench him for the next 5 games. If it stops them getting them, because obviously, you know, they're heading for the playoffs, then it's fine. Do it for that. But the other reason, as you touched upon, is that Mayfield wasn't happy being a backup in Carolina. But that's because, you know, he's similar age. He's coming into a Rams franchise that's got Matthew Stafford as QB1. Stafford's 34, going on 35. He's at the tail end of his career. Mayfield's still 27. I didn't actually realise Wilford and Perkins are 27 as well. Yeah. So people going on about, oh, our backups are young quarterbacks, they're not young, really, in the grand scheme of things. So we've brought Mayfield in, who's the same age as the guys that were already there. So it's not a case of, oh, he's older or what. So Mayfield could be happier coming into the Rams because he would be happy to maybe sit as QB2, knowing that Stafford's maybe got a season or two, and then he's maybe, that is, you know, before I come into it, but he's the contusion stuff with his spinal cord. He's, you know, at best got a couple of seasons. He said, well, I'll step up as starter, but I'll be able to learn off of him and develop myself off of a veteran. And it's one thing we've talked about in the past, that I always favour, you know, quarterback depth where you've got a veteran and you've got a young guy under it that is going to learn. I think at the start of the season, I can't remember what team it was actually, it was the Titans, I'm sure it was. I think it was Tannehill who said that he refused to mentor anyone, knowing that they were going to take his job. And it's like, how is the game supposed to continue in that respect? How are guys supposed to learn the game unless someone teaches them? It's not just coach mentoring through your fellow players and your peers is an important part of this game. So Mayfield's probably looking at it from that perspective, that he could learn off of Stafford and ultimately put himself in the position where he could potentially claim the QB1 role. And then there's the other side of it where, say, Stafford doesn't come back because spinal cord contusion isn't an injury, it's just bruising. Contusion obviously means bruising, but I did a quick look at it, and I made sure it was reputable medical place, and it was John Hopkins University that actually read off these cord contusions could lead to serious issues, you know, with his back and whatnot, muscle problems, heart problems. So if Stafford doesn't rehabilitate properly, and that's why he's been now put to IR, he's gone. So Mayfield could also be a stopgap to 2024 when we get a number one pick. And not number one, well, maybe number one pick, who knows, I guess, hopefully not. A first round pick, I mean. Then that's where, like, sort of, I don't know, if, you know, you talk about, oh, Caleb Williams or whatever, like, you know, from USC. That's where we've got Mayfield in there now to bridge the gap between Stafford and the next guy. So this potentially could work in our favours long term. Before this season, though, I would have said to you, I don't want Mayfield. Don't rate him, whatnot. But the way this season got, I'm open to anything right now that benefits us. So all I can see is potential upsides for us. I can't really see, you know, what we've got to lose here. But one thing I did do was on Twitter, put it up on the screen now, put a poll up when on the day he was going on waivers. and just asked people, would you take him? And it was kind of 50-50. Also, 52% said yes, they would take him. 48% said no. And then last night, after it was announced we claimed him, I said, well, are you happy with us taking him now? 72% actually said yes, and 28% said no. And I asked people as well to drop comments on it. So, like, off of Twitter, Ashley Collins said that he would, you know, when we said about, like, would you take Mayfield? Only as Perkins backup. Tom at Batten Heaton said, anyone's suggestion is worse than Wilford. Obviously didn't watch last night. And then to follow that one up, at Phil Marston said, I literally laughed out loud when I saw Wilford make that last throw. I actually asked the question on Discord, just to see what people thought was, if Mayfield played against the Seahawks, do we win that game? Do you think, like, if we had Mayfield there on Sunday night, we would have won that game?
I think potentially, yeah. I think he would have given us that little bit more experience and that little bit more knowledge. And to be honest, his arm strength's probably a lot better than Wolford's, it appears, considering the guy didn't look like he could throw it more than 10 yards with any real zip to it.
Yep. Just switching over to Facebook, some of the comments got Michael Woods saying, win-win for the rest of the season, gives us a chance to look to see if he can be a decent backup, as our starter quarterback is broken. Scott Brown said, worth seeing what he can do for the rest of the year. There's concerns about Stafford going forward, so if Mayfield can show potential, we could convince him to back up Stafford, you know, if he does continue. Vince Kitagawa said, not happy with Wilford as a QB. Gavin Lloyd, at this point, it really doesn't matter. The season's done, so Baker basically gets a free swing. Surely things can't get any worse than that. Like I said, that's one of the things that I kind of feel about. But he also did say that it does seem odd, because if we're not trusting Wilford, then why even have him signed? And I think that's where we're potentially going to see Wilford and or Perkins leave in the off-season here if Mayfield does well over these next few games.
Yeah, I do. I think this is sort of his, like, okay, show what you can do now for the next 5 weeks and we'll go from there. And obviously, a lot of this obviously depends on Mayfield as well, what he decides. He may decide to hit free agency and see if a team wants to pick him up as a number one, but the chances of that happening for him are pretty slim. I think with where he's at now, with, like I say, all the questions for, with regards to Stafford, it's a good place. And, you know, the guy has shown, you know, there's a reason he was the number one overall pick. There's a reason that, you know, this guy, you know, at periods of his career, you know, was classed as a top 10, heading towards top 5 quarterback in the league. You know, there's flashes there that people have seen, you know. So if we can get that those flashes back and sort of get it, then he could actually potentially be, like I said, a ready-made replacement for Stafford, or if push comes to shove, a ready-made, right, you know what, he's done, get you're now our number one, give you the next year, let's see what you can do.
Yep. In terms, sorry to interrupt, just in terms of, like you're saying, the number one pick, just quickly looking at the 2018 draft, Baker Mayfield also went first overall. Josh Allen went seventh as well. So there's another, like, Sam Darnold too was backing up in the end and went third. So there was three quarterbacks went in the top seven picks on that one. So it wasn't like in the draft that there wasn't other options at, you know, the quarterback for the Browns to take. I mean, obviously, like, hindsight, they probably wish they took Josh Allen, but that's another thing, eh?
Would, like I say, if as people say, though, if roles reversed, Allen went to Buffalo, Allen went to the Browns, Mayfield went to Buffalo. You know, a lot of people put that on Brian Daboll, who's now the Giants coach.
Yeah,
you know, developed the, you know, Allen in his first year as a quarterback looked absolutely trash. And, you know, if people were like, get rid of him, he's rubbish. Now look at him, first year with Mayfield, everyone was saying he's brilliant. And, you know, sometimes it's who your coaches are. And let's be honest, he went through some bad coaches, you know, in Cleveland. Yep. And he went to a bad coach again in, you know, Carolina. So, you know, that's got to affect players as much as anything else as well. You know, the coaching staff, the offense keeps changing every 5 minutes because he's a new coach every year, you know. So, yeah, so, you know, give the guy a chance, you know. Let's see what he can do. Let's get behind him and let's just see, you know, what's going to happen.
I think it'd be different if you know, we had a shot at the playoffs or whatever, In fact, no, it wouldn't be different if we had a shot of playoffs. It'd be even more the reason to take them, surely, if we're struggling. So, yeah, you know, just I don't even know where I was going there. I think I was more trying to say that if we had, like, if Wilford, you know, was, like, performing well and was still winning, could maybe understand not going after them if we're in kind of a bit of form and we've got a bit of flow, whatnot. But it's just... so many guys are going out injured, you know, over the course of your guys hitting the IR. We're losing big players. Like, a lot is wanting the season to be over, but we've got four prime time games coming up now, which, you know, we can't be flexed out in any of those games. Mayfield, was, you know, when it was coming up, like, people saying, oh, well, the NFL will want the Rams to take Mayfield because they're in prime time the next 4 weeks, so it would give people a reason to watch to see how Mayfield's going to go on. Plus, there's a lot of people out there that don't like Mayfield, so hoping they'll be hoping that he doesn't do well, I guess. So, does that really, is there? No.
Yeah, no, exactly. You know, he seems to be... He's a very Marmite player. You either love him or you hate him. There doesn't seem to be a middle ground with the guy.
So, another thing I've only got one comment. I've just read it here. Just before the podcast, I put a post up online just because I've seen someone like refer to him as Bake. And it made me think of the film Talladega Nights. You know, like, well, we're on Shake and Bake. So I thought, right, so we know who Bake is. So who would you think Shake would be?
Oh, maybe Akers or Atwell, I'd say.
So, like, obviously, if he was fit, the natural one, people would hope it'd be Cup. But, like, thinking who we've got then now, I wasn't really sure myself, but I seen Jack Stevens commented on the post and said Skoronic. And probably could see it, to be honest.
Yeah, actually. Now you say his name, yeah. Now you say Skoronic, yeah. I can see it, actually.
So there's that. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how Mayfield gets on. He's taking number 17. Six wasn't available for him, season number 17, and he did practice today. I believe that McVay has said he's going to be suited up and he'll be active tomorrow night, but whether he plays or not is another thing. It's only his first practice with the team, so it's still, when he's obviously made those comments, it's still extremely early for him to say whether or not he's, you know, going to go play. So I guess... Well, obviously, it'll be once though the media leave practice and they can get properly into it where they'll evaluate what they can do with them.
Well, the press conference with McVay is actually going on as we record.
Is it?
Yeah, it came up on my YouTube just as we hit record for this, that McVay discussing Baker Mayfield's starting role on Thursday. So I'm sure there'll be some...
Yeah, we'll keep the Twitter feeds opened.
Ready, yeah, just in case.
Keep them a bit refreshed. But yeah, so yeah, that's Baker Mayfield. Another positive one to kind of talk about within the team is the nominations for every team, obviously, for the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. And Tremaine Ancrum was nominated by the Rams. Before we talk about why he was nominated, would he have been a name that you would have thought would have been up for the award, Andy?
No, because I didn't know much about the guy, if I'm being brutally honest. He was just, you know, one of these practice squad occasionally gets pulled up on, you know, game day if we're really struggling for injuries. You know, he's not somebody who's in the eyes who you would expect to get that, you know. And, you know, when you read what he's done, what he's been doing, it's like, oh my, you know, you've gone way above and beyond somebody in your position would probably be expected to. And I think, you know, fair play to the guy and, yeah, definitely my winner now from what I've heard.
Yep. When I seen the nominations come up, if anyone listening to us doesn't subscribe to Jordan Rodrigue on The Athletic, you know, get your money out and like subscribe to it because her articles are great. And the one she put up about Ancrum was just amazing to read that I actually didn't believe it myself when I read it. So if you don't know, so we drafted Ancrum in 2020, and he's not, as Andy you said, he's not somebody until this year that's really played or anything like that, and he's obviously out at the moment. I can't remember what game it was. It was the week two game against the Cardinals, if I got that right. It was the first play, done his ankle, took the next play and was like, no, I'm done. I'm done, man. I'm out. So even with a boot on that on, he's had a couple of injuries in his time since he was drafted. Ankrum has been out there, you know, with like food kitchens and whatnot, out there learning about anti-Semitism, arranging for personal tours around, I think, it's the Holocaust Museum in LA. He's been out there doing a lot of essentially charity work for the last few years. No one even knew he was out there at all doing it. I think it was Havenstein said that when he found out about it, he laughed and he said that actually could believe that because that's the kind of person he is. Ankrum hasn't told us, so he didn't even tell anyone on the Rams. He'd asked for them for help to get access and like tours of stuff to learn about a lot of things going on. I believe during COVID, with all the lockdowns, he was out there helping out with like kind of food parcels and stuff like that. And they had no idea who he was. They just thought he was this young guy that was wanting to volunteer and help out. They had no idea he was first a football player and had no idea he played for the Rams. But he was out there volunteering week in, week out, all through COVID and that, and he still continues to this day. They now know who he is and they can't believe. He doesn't talk apparently much about football. Well, he might now they know he is, but at the time, like I said, they never mentioned who he was or what he did. He just wanted to come down, help, learn about the causes he was getting involved in and just essentially giving back because that's what he wanted to do. Now, it'd be a bit unfair for me to say that you should disregard everyone else because I've not actually read some of the other stories, but the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award is supposed to, you know, it's supposed to be empowering and it's supposed to recognise guys who are going out there selfless, humbled, looking for no recognition. Essentially, don't care about this award because that's not what they're about. Now, for me, Tremaine Ankrum is... That is Walter Payton, then, is it not? Like, yep. That's exactly what they're looking for. Because when I seen the video and I watched him, he's kind of just sitting and he's talking. It's great he's talking about this stuff, obviously, to the NFL because he's been nominated. But his body language and that is, like, you can tell that he's like, yeah, I'm doing this because I have to do it. I'm not interested on winning anything here. Just want to do my bit, and that's amazing. Like, you know, Wolfson had Big Whip win it last year, and he should have won it for a good few years, and it was great to finally see him recognised in his last season. But to go from someone like Big Mitt to Whit to see someone like Ankrum, I mean, for all we know, Whitworth could have inspired him like that. Do you know what I mean? But it's just, it's a great story, and like, all the credit to him from, and like, in like my eyes, like, whether or not he gets it, like, he's man of year, like, for me.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. You know, like I say, it's not as if he's some big name superstar week in, week out, where you kind of,
yeah,
you know, it's almost like they've got to do this because it's part of their image of the name. It's a case exactly. of some unknown guy who's basically out there doing this because out of his own heart and his own decency.
Exactly,
because, you know, as you say, that's what this award is about.
Exactly, because 2 years ago when Wilson won it over Big Whit, like, it pissed a lot of people off because it's like, well, like, it just got the feeling that Wilson, you're only doing this for your image. You're not doing this because you genuinely want to be out there doing it. You've got, like, not to run them down or discredit them, but you've got to, like, Sissoko and Barkley's in there, Mahomes is in there. So the big names, it's like, well, people are going to be like, oh my God, get Mahomes, because it's just Mahomes, rather than actually looking into, here's a guy that you wouldn't have known his name months ago. There's probably guys that people out there that I've never heard Tremaine Ankrum. No idea who he is. I mean, we didn't know who he was at the start of the year, pretty much, because like you said, practice squad and all that. He's just this guy who's just went out there and, you know, done what other people are wanting to do, but make sure there's a camera there whilst we're doing it. Make sure there's someone there to document me doing this. Whereas he's just out there like, nah, man, it's just part of my day-to-day. There is so many players, of course, across the league that are all about, like, you know, I grew up in this rough community. Every Thanksgiving, I go home and I take, like, 1,000 turkeys and I just give them out. Like, you know, all credit to those guys, because that's guys that don't forget where they come from. And but these guys don't look for the recognition for it, and that's what charity should always be about, as opposed to like my image says that I need to do this. You shouldn't do it in that case. So fingers crossed for him that he gets it, because you know it's a great story, and urge people to go watch the video on NFL.com and read up about it, because it's just amazing.
Yeah, definitely, you know. Yeah. Full credit to the guy, you know, and it's what it's all about at the end of the day.
That's it. So fingers crossed we go two in a row. Back we run it back with the Walter Payton Man of the Year award, because we'll not run it back with anything else. And that leads us on to the week 13 loss at home to the Seahawks. 27-23, six in a row in the L column for us. We're now 3-9. We have a 2% chance of making the playoffs. I'm shocked that there is still a chance there mathematically, but there is.
Yeah.
But we all know where it's going to go. So, yeah, that's that. But, Andy, thoughts in the game?
Obviously disappointing to get the loss, you know, but to me, there were some positives from the game. It wasn't, you know, doom and gloom. What time we look like we could be in this game was, you know, like we hark back to maybe a slightly better quarterback and we could have won this game. Maybe if we had a, you know, Donald on the field, we could possibly win this game. Yep. You know, with that defensive pressure, you know, maybe Morris manning players up, which is something we've moaned about. Maybe could have stopped this from, you know, happening, but you know, there were positives. We got the run game going, you know, which was nice to see. I don't think I've seen 170 yards out of this team, you know, all season, yet alone in one game.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, to be honest, even, I hate to say this, but even without Aaron Donald, we actually look better on our front four. You know, four sacks, obviously Wagner getting two, you know, Hocht getting, however you pronounce his name, getting two. Yep. You know, it's kind of like, well, you know, where has this been, this help that obviously... But that with AD up there with them, you know, where's this been? You know, it's just a weird game. But, you know, again, it was soft coverage defense that basically, you know, we made Geno Smith look like the MVP again. Another quarterback. Yeah, Walford, I think, to be honest, I could throw the ball further than he could.
Yeah, we'll get into that last throw in a wee second. But, in terms of positives, yep. We were in the game right up to the last 30 seconds, and it's that makes it really frustrating that we lost, because, you know, it wasn't a case. I think of, I've seen that of all the losses we've had since the bye weeks, also we're on this, that's, you know, we're on a six-game losing streak here. I think it's always came down to the last quarter when we've lost the game. We've always been in the game going into the last quarter. So, I mean, that's a positive to not overlook here. Despite all these loses, even though we're not playing great, we're still technically being in the game. But I think to go to the last 30 seconds before they scored the, you know, the game-winning touchdown, it's like, it kind of leaves a bitter taste in your mouth. But like you said, we established a run game and, you know, kind of kept it there. Two rushing touchdowns for Cam Akers, one of which... give him credit for, because I really heavily criticised him at the start of the season for it. He actually made an adjustment when he realised, I can't go up the lane I'm supposed to go up, and he got in the end zone as a result. So it was good to see that he can actually adjust and react to what's going on in front of him. The first one, it was actually Skoronek who made a great block. It also shut down his channel, but it prevented the linebacker for coming across to stop Akers from getting in. The catch by Atwell. I put a tweet up earlier this week. The average height of NFL wide receiver, 6'2". 2'2" Atwell was 5'8", which is the same height as me. So seeing the same height myself, like knowing that, we've always remarked about his height, he's too small. That throw by Wolford is a terrible throw for a wide receiver his height. It's a good throw for someone and it's of average height, he'll catch it like that. Atwell, though, one-handed stretch for it. I don't think that catch got enough credit for what it actually was. Great play by him. Good to see Atwell more involved. And from some of the comments that McVay said, it kind of seems like he's, you know, he's kind of like, eating a bit of humble pie that he's admitted that he should have had Atwell involved a lot more earlier, but he doesn't understand for himself why he didn't involve him. So he's kind of like, you know, I'm going to take the hit on that one and eat a bit of humble pie that, like, I should have had this guy, you know, more involved when people were saying get him more involved. On the defensive side, I can't pronounce his name. Sorry, Michael. Great performance. This guy's been playing special teams for us all season, and this is the first game where he stepped up, played off the edge, and McVay was like, we recognised a couple of weeks ago that he potentially could fill this role for us, and he said, expect to see him in that role again going forward. So for a guy like him, like a lot of guys come on a team like him, they'll start off in special teams like Skronik did as well, and they'll just get the head down and, you know, grind their way, and they'll get that spot, and all it takes is that one game, just like it did for him this Sunday, to step up and show what he can do. And your two sacks is amazing, and then Wagner as well. Like, I've said throughout the season, he's been solid for us, and I don't think he gets enough credit, and I don't think he got enough credit for the performance on Sunday. You know, two sacks plus he stripped the ball off of one of the receivers as well, yeah, for a turnover. Like, maybe it's one of those ones, whenever you play against your old team, you step up your play because you're trying to prove them wrong or whatever, but well, I don't think that's the case with him. Like,
I do think there was maybe a little bit of that, because obviously they basically said, you're too old, you passed it, goodbye, we're getting rid of you.
He's not washed up.
Think he had that little dog mentality of, you know what, I'm going to prove to you that I wasn't washed and you made the wrong choice.
Yeah, but like, I will look forward to seeing him next year on the Rams, and hopefully, you know, after that maybe. I think he's been a great addition to us. We probably thought the kind of player we've seen him when he was in Seattle was maybe expected a bit more explosiveness out of him, but he is getting that bit older. But for a veteran, this guy is exactly what we need there.
Yeah,
in that linebacking core. And yeah, if we can get, I mean, we've got some decent guys around, but see if we could potentially draft like a stud for him to develop next to him. You know, that's exactly, I mean, it's back to, like I said earlier on, have your veteran in a position, have the guy that's, you know, will replace him, but the up and coming guy that will learn off him.
And I think we've already got it in Jones.
Well, Ennis Jones, like, it's been said quite a few times that he potentially is that, you know, that diamond in the rough, that stud, star waiting, you know, to happen. So,
and I have noticed that, to be honest myself, that not his play, not so much obviously the physical stuff, but the mental side of the game, Jones has got off throughout the season, has got better with the mental side, his position and where he needs to be exactly.
Yeah.
Which to me looks like Wagner's doing exactly his job of mentoring Jones up and basically showing him that, you know, yeah, you can do all the physical stuff, but it's the mental side. You know, you need to block the lanes for the quarterbacks, yep, and stuff like that. You know, so I think, you know, we do have that player already in the team, I think, with Jones, you know, and hopefully if he can keep developing under Wagner, he's a brilliant, ideal replacement for the guy when he does hang up the cleats.
Yeah. But yeah, just like I said, like, Wagner is for me, is turning into be an absolute great addition,
yeah,
to our roster. You know, considering that we in terms of the veteran kind of the role, I mean, I know it was slightly not the same position, but we had Von Miller last year. He was great for that kind of veteran aspect because it helped, you know, like, say, AD helped him become more vocal and whatnot. So it helped a lot of guys. So it's great that, whilst we couldn't bring Von Miller back, who is now out with a season-ending ACL injury. Well, at least he's got the money, I guess. We were able to bring in someone like Wagner, who's, you know, done probably better, in my opinion, than, fair enough, Miller came in midway through the season, but Wagner, I think, is more, we can get more out of him than we would have with Miller, is what, yeah, I'm trying to say.
And, you know, again, he stepped up to that leadership role because you saw him on the sideline of the game, yeah, absolutely ripping the defense apart and basically, yeah, saying, you know, not acceptable, sort your asses out, you know. He actually, yeah, was that vocal voice, you know, hopefully that's another sign that maybe this is, you know, he's come into a new locker room. It may just take him a little bit of time, but he's finally at that position now where he can take on that leadership role and basically be like, right, you know what? You're just getting it in the neck.
Well, that's it. He's obviously taking his time to come in, get to know the guys that he's playing with in defence, get to know what the relationships, what the kind of hierarchy in terms of the influential guys within that side of the football is, and assert himself with the type of person that he is, the type of leader he could be in the team. And I think it's fair to say that he's fully settled, and it's one of those ones that I don't think there's anyone on that defence, if he opens his mouth, they're not going to listen to him.
No. I think the only one may be Ramsey, and I don't even think he really want to stop that one.
Yep. As we come over to the negative sides of the game, so obviously the losing streak goes to six now. Elsewhere, obviously, Stafford's on IR, Donald's hovering around IR, but they're not actually placing him on IR because technically his injury means he's out for the season, but it's Aaron Donald, so he probably isn't out for the season, let's be honest here. Ramsey, though, I watched before we came on. I didn't watch the game live on Sunday night. I watched all the clips, the highlights, and then I watched the 5-minute highlights again before we came on tonight. And the one thing that's jumped out to me is, we've said that a few times, Ramsey isn't the player he was last year. He's not. And we've seen him up against DK Metcalf in the past, and he's had Metcalf in his back pocket. You know, we used to go and say, oh, Metcalf is Ramsey's son, but now everyone's saying it's the roles have reversed. I seen one clip from one play. It was only like a 5-yard game, but it's been made out to be a bigger play than it actually was, where Metcalf is set in motion and he gestures to Ramsey like, come on, come on, come with me. And Ramsey's just like, no. And people are going, oh, Ramsey's like his son. And there was quite a few plays that I don't know if it's down to Ramsey fully, or if it's down to the system with a soft zone, or it's a combination of both. But I'm kind of starting to come to the point where if I had to pick one guy out of the core group to trade, it would probably be Ramsey. And I'd rather not. I'd rather see the best out of Jalen Ramsey. I'd rather see him at his best, but it could just be just the way this season's gone. His head's not there. And maybe he's just thinking, like, I'm checked out for the year. I just want to get to rest at the end of the season, rest, recover, and come back strong next year. But he's just, for me, he doesn't feel like he's the same guy. What's your thoughts on it, Andy?
Yeah, I'm the same. I don't know. Obviously, you know, he's 28 now. Is he starting to lose that little bit of step that made him, you know, the player that he was? You know, corners do tend to, you know, slow down, which is why, you know, in the past, a lot of them, once they got to sort of 30-ish, they'd be normally converted to a safety sort of, you know, position. Or, like you say, maybe his head's not in it. He's just like, you know what? Why am I even playing this season? What's the point? I might as well just get to the end of the season. You know, get to spend time with his kids. I don't think he has his kids with him during the season. I think they live, you know, the other end of the country. So it might be a case of, I just want to get this over and done with now. Get to the end of the season. Go with my family. Be with my kids. You know, and then maybe come back if everything's healthy. Or maybe, like, you know, we've previously kind of discussed, is he just checking out now and is getting to the, you know, this reminds me very much of how he was at Jacksonville. Before he basically went, I've had enough, trade me. You know, I don't want to be here anymore. Is he getting to that point now where he's like, yeah, I'm finished, done. I just want to get out of here now. I've had enough. I've got my ring. I've got my paycheck. I'm not interested anymore. This team's falling apart. I want to go somewhere else. You know, there is that worry. Yeah. With
if he feels like that, I would actually dispute him saying that, because the team isn't falling apart. We're crippled at the moment because of injuries. That's all. Like, I see it was Holm Kanter said that, and it was a good reminder to see it, that this team isn't a bad team. This isn't like you said, like when he was in Jacksonville. Jacksonville wasn't a great team, so no wonder they wanted out, you know, because he's like, I'm going nowhere here. I'm not going to achieve anything. We're different because the players, you know, fingers crossed, it'll be the same next year and they'll still be there. But the core group of players that are going to win you games and get you success are there. They're still there. So it's not like we lost Aaron Donald in the offseason, we lost Cup. Now, it's not like that. These guys are still there, so we're not a bad team. We're just crippled right now, and we just need to get healthy. So that, and that's where, like, we're all wanting to kind of get to the end of the year so we can reset and go again next year. So if that's how he felt like that at the moment, I would absolutely 100% dispute him and argue the point with him on it, that don't give up on this team because we're not done. We're not falling apart.
No,
we're falling apart if guys are jumping ship. But if you're wanting to jump ship, then you're the only one that's falling apart here, because we are, as the episode title is, and it's a great quote from McVay, calm seas don't make great sailors. He just wants calm seas. If he feels that way, which hopefully he doesn't, he just wants calm seas all the way. You're not going to learn anything in a game unless you learn more out of losing a game than you do from winning a game, in my eyes.
Yeah.
Because you need to take the negatives to turn it into positives. You need to learn where you're going wrong so you know where to go right and how to go right. And he's in the first game when we could be off the Bills, he was one of the ones that said that. So that's why I'm saying, like, I hope he doesn't feel that way, because I dispute it, because he'd be an absolute hypocrite, because that's what he said after the week one loss to the Bills.
Maybe it's not so much that as in the team. Maybe it's just he's not happy with the coaching, because sometimes players, if they're not happy with the coaching staff, they'll be like, look, this isn't working for me. I don't like the coach. We have seen during the season, he's had Barneys on the sideline with Raheem Morris. Yeah. I think even on Sunday night, I think he might have been flipping his lid a little bit at times.
He did. I've seen video of him kind of losing it a bit. I didn't see if he was losing it in anyone in particular, but he was kind of like, you know, the helmet was off and he was
giving
someone a mouthful.
Yeah, if he's had enough of the coaching staff, maybe it's a case of, you know, he's like, look, either he goes or I go, because I've had enough. I don't like how he's doing things. I don't like the scheme, whatever, you know. And I hate saying, you know, players shouldn't have the power, but, you know, you do have to listen to your superstar players. And if they're not going to give you 100% because of the coach, well, then you look and go, well, hang on.
It's what one is it? Is it this player or the coach we get rid of?
Yeah, you know, and to be honest with how the defense is playing. The defense isn't playing bad, don't get me wrong. I don't want to say this is, you know, Raheem Morris. I just don't think his scheme works for the sort of players we have.
I think we know how good they can play. And that's one of the frustrating things, and we've talked about before, this whole soft zone. Why are we playing that when we know that we don't have to play that and we can play well? But at the same time, we're not playing badly at the same time on defense.
Yeah, it seems to be he's got the front of the defense perfect, how you pretty much want it, maybe a few more sacks, but you know, it's there seems to be the corners and the DBs. He's like, that's where he needs to make some adjustments to it, you know. And it's also, I'm not being horrible, we do need another corner alongside Ramsey. The players we're trying to play, they're not good enough. That they are your rotational players that you would bring in for maybe an injury, not to be your number one starters.
Yeah,
you know, and I think maybe that's also affecting him. He's like, I'm playing with trash here. I'm on my own basically because the rest of you are trash.
Well, yeah, there was definitely a few plays. The Lockett touchdown and I think Metcalf as well. Actually, it was Kendrick he was up against, and Kendrick was absolutely smoked on both occasions. So, look at that, because I mean, you think when you look at, if you go from the front back, the way we said on the line, we've got a good defensive line. We were talking about it. We've got Wagner there, we've got Jones in the linebacking core. But we've got, in terms of the cornerbacks and the safeties, all we've got is Ramsey. But when you think about, like, those positions is basically like, you know, if you think it's like the arms around the rest to allow them to, like, go at it. Like, so it's like Ramsey can't be everywhere, I guess. So, what I'm saying about Ramsey's feels like about him, I'm done all that. Like I said, I don't think it is, but I'd hope it isn't the case. He's got a lot of frustrations, let's just put it that way. And he's right to vent them. He is right to vent them. We saw it last year, even when we were doing well, he's like trying to fight with his own teammates. The guy's very passionate about what he does.
Yeah, you need it.
There's nothing wrong with that. Like, I went on a podcast before the NFC Championship game, and it's one of those ones where, like, the host, it's me versus a 49ers fan. It was a guy from America, and he was really, really laying on heavy about Ramsey's this bad, like egg. Ramsey's the kind of guy that brings down a defence. I mean, look, he was fighting his own teammates, and I just sat there and laughed and went, he didn't actually watch what he was doing. He was getting in his teammates' face because he was telling his teammates to step up.
Yeah.
He was saying, if you're, I'm getting sick of this, like, he's obviously, even when we're doing well, he's not thinking, I'm having to cover for your ass. But here, no, get a grip, man, because we can't lose here. We can't make mistakes. There's a fine margin between winning and losing here, where we are in the season. You know, and he is that kind of guy. And like I said about, like, it could, there obviously is stuff going on that we don't know about, right? That it could be coaching. It could be the player's mentality in terms of, like, I want the season done, man. I'm checked out for you. It could be, hopefully not, like, that I'm done, man. I've went as far as I'm going to go here. May have checked out in that respect. Who knows what it is? But like I said, I want to see Jalen Ramsey at his best. You know, regardless of me saying about, like, what I think is going on, I want all the players to be at their best and playing at their best, and I want them all to stay there. So we'll see what happens in the off-season, I guess. But, you know, he'll probably admit himself his performances haven't been at his best, but it could, for all we know, that could be, like you said, down to the way he's been told to play out there. He could just be like, well, I can't do my usual, like, I'm on you. I'm not, you can, wherever you go, I'm going, you know, to wherever whoever their star receiver is, or star, you know, like if it's tight end or whatever, you know, he's just on number one guy for the other team's offense the whole game and doesn't leave him, because I think it's been highlighted more to me because of the Seahawks that he used to rile Metcalf up like something absolute chronic, and it was funny to watch, you know. Because, like, Metcalf was, like, spitting the dummy and whatnot about it. And it's, I think that's where it's frustrating to see the kind of roles reversed last year. And that's probably, it's probably pissed Ramsey off, let's be honest, as well. So I guess we'll see how things go with that respect. But
yeah,
we've been round the houses about, you know, what's going on with both sides of the ball and, you know, what's going to happen in the offseason. So it's just a kind of, I guess, a matter of time. But with this, we are in Donald, you know, like you said, I think the reason that we probably looked, I'm not saying better, but looked good without him, is because there wasn't a bottleneck in terms of guys, you know, trying to keep him out of the game, that their offensive line was having to, like who's coming at us? They're having to actually read rather than go, we just take Donald out again and we can just shift like this and whatnot, just like that. It allowed us to maybe open up our defensive playbook a bit more. I don't know.
It allowed us to blitz Wagner, which is what I've been screaming about all season. We need to do some linebacker. You know, we actually finally took us to get rid of Aaron Donald out of the game before we were like, right, let's bring a bit of extra pressure and we'll use Wagner for the stunt plays that we've been screaming for, you know, and every time we did it, it worked. You know, he was getting through. He was just not getting picked up.
And you know, the other thing is, it makes you wonder, like, how did it not work the rest of the year when, like, two or three guys was on Donald? That's the thing that's got me questioning. Like, I don't understand how, if you can have Donald double teamed, you've got one less guy to pick up Wagner. So how is it?
And because we've not been using Wagner in that way.
Dropping
Wagner into box coverage and basically saying, right, you're covering the tight end or you're covering the running back that's coming leaking out that field. Whereas this week we went, well, you know what? So if the running back comes out, we'll hope Wagner's there and hits the quarterback before he's even looked at for the running back, his little check down, you know, which is what we need to do. And it was, you know, a couple of times he was wide open, no one even touched him.
The other thing that's got me wondering is how much of Wagner's play do you think was bootlegged on Sunday? Because he was up against his former team. He knows the way some of these guys play. They know, he knows their strengths, their weaknesses. He's got that inside edge. So how much of that game do you think he thought, I'm supposed to do this? Nah, I'm blitzing. I'm going for this. I know if I do this, I catch him like that, I'm through.
Yeah, it could be. As I say, you know, it could be that as well, you know, that he's just like, I know what, right, I've seen this play before. It's going to be a thing, you know, he's going to hold the ball for three, 4 seconds before he throws it. I've got time to blitz the guy. I'm going for it. you know, so yeah, who knows with them. I do think some of it maybe because we were lacking Aaron Donald, it was a case of can we get some, you know,
someone else up there,
someone moving, someone going, you know. Maybe it was a case of they didn't have any confidence in, you know, Hecht, or however you pronounce his name, Michael H.
He's called by his first name, his Sunday name.
Yeah, you know, or, you know, Bobby Brown and everyone else. So it was a case of we'll try and scheme a bit of pressure and we'll let Wagner do the blitz this week, you know, because we didn't expect. And it was just the lucky that, you know, Michael also managed to get it through himself and get a couple of sacks. And, you know, that wasn't really in the game plan, so to speak.
Yep, it was not. And let's see, these comments, they're like, yeah, we're going to see more of him, you know, yeah, coming off the edge, which is great. Give, you know, this is what the rest of the season is going to be about for us, is giving guys like this that chance to show what they can do.
Yeah, that's what I've said now. This is what this is now for the rest of this season. It's just like, you know what, we ain't going to do anything. It doesn't really matter whether we win, lose, draw, whatever, you know.
Yeah,
it's not affecting our draft position so much. Do you get an earlier picks? Great. You know what? Let's just use it. Let's just develop more. So, as you said, develop these players, get them actual first team speed reps, and see what these players for next year that we can look forward to at the draft and go, actually, do you know what? We had an idea. Maybe we needed another wide receiver, but actually, you know what? Atwell stepped up and proved to us. So we'll, you know, that pick that we're going to now use, we'll spend on a corner or another edge player or
offensive lineman.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, Michael Hecht stepped up as a pass rusher. If he does that till the end of the season, well, you know what? That's our edge next to Leonard Floyd sorted, so we don't have to worry about that position. Oh, we'll get another cornerback or another line, as you say, offensive lineman.
Yeah, because without these injuries, these guys wouldn't get the chance.
No, they wouldn't.
Sorry, on you go.
Hecht, I think, was on the practice squad until a few weeks ago.
It was, yeah.
So, you know,
anytime he's came in, he's played special teams.
Yeah. You know, again, these players, you know, this is their, you know, sometimes this is what it's not being horrible. It takes a number of injuries like this for these, you know, players that, you know, we've seen before. They'll never do anything for your team because they never get a chance. They go to a team, you know, get a game or two. And then all of a sudden it's like, where have you been for the past 3 years that we've had you?
Yep, that's it. Yeah, on the practice squad, that's what I've been.
Yeah, you know, and these guys, you know, if you're going to learn off somebody, I can't think of anybody better in the league as a pass rusher to learn from than Aaron Donald.
Absolutely.
You know, so how much, you know, studying has been going on back there. But I suppose, speaking of Aaron Donald, I suppose we should come to the injury report that's just been released for this week.
Yep.
Aaron Donald is out of the game on Thursday. He is not going to play. John Wolford is limited at the moment with a neck injury. Lance McCutcheon's also currently limited with a shoulder injury. Brandon Powell did not practice this week due to an illness. He's looking highly unlikely that he'll go for the week for this Thursday game.
Yep.
And then we've got the usual crew of Traven Howard, Terrell Lewis out, which is like nothing unusual for them too anymore. David Long didn't practice because of a groin injury. He looks like he's not going to be able to go. And Troy Hill was also limited due to that groin injury still. So potentially we're going to be even thinner than we were on Sunday at this rate. We're getting to the point, John, that anyone who's over in LA at the moment from the group, make sure you've got a jersey because you might be getting a game at this rate.
Oh, yeah, I'd hate it if you've got a custom jersey with your own name because that's you. Just need a pair of pads under that and you're good to go.
Yeah, you'd be good to go.
But yeah, I suppose that's the one thing just before we move on to the Raiders. We talk about, obviously, there's a group of guys out in the LA from the UK. So hope all those guys are having a great time and, you know, despite the result on Sunday, you know, enjoyed the experience in SoFi. And they'll get to enjoy it again tomorrow night as the Rams are going again tomorrow night on Thursday night, and it's on Prime Video. Late kickoff for us here in the UK. It's technically Friday, it'll be at 1:15, and it's on Prime Video. So, Raiders, Andy, how are you feeling about this game?
Do you know what? The Raiders are one of those teams that they've been a mess all year, but it's guaranteed that, again, we're going to make them look good. You know, they've won, I think they won last week, so, you know, they might be on a little bit of a boy at the moment to, you know, maybe get going. And I just, I just don't see us winning a game, to be brutally honest. I really just don't see, you know, depends on who's playing, you know, if Mayfield maybe comes in and maybe just looks like a little bit better than Wolford and Perkins does, you know, maybe we could scrape a win out of this game, you know, if everything goes to plan. But again,
yeah.
I suppose it'll depend on the Raiders, you know, is Davante Adams a go or not? Because if he's playing, then he's probably going to have a game, you know, against us.
Yeah, especially with some of the injuries there, yeah.
Yeah, you know, we're basically, I'd say, we're scratching the bottom now for corners and DBs, you know, at this rate, you know. We may be struggling, you know. Maybe Raheem Morris will have to jet up and get out there and show us how to do this soft zone coverage himself.
Yeah, well, that's it, yeah. You know, lead by example, yeah. Yeah. Your system you get on shows how it's supposed to work then, eh?
Yeah. It's one of those games you just... The Raiders aren't a good team, I'm sorry. You know, they're not that good a team. And, you know, it's one that, like I say, beginning of the season, it was, yeah, we'll stomp all over them. But after the Seahawks game, as much as I said, I feel confident that if we can get to an early lead with how the Raiders play, we could actually sneak this game at the moment.
Yeah, I feel like we could still win this game. And I say that based off of the Seahawks loss, because the Seahawks have been playing quite well. You know, and we were going out again thinking, don't see us getting anything out of that. And like I said, up to the last 30 seconds, you know, that game was there for the taking. That's when it makes it frustrating that we lost, because it was there for the taking. So, you know, and that's even like Geno Smith been playing well on offense. Like, with that, you know, we did well to make sure that they couldn't get, if they did get ahead, they couldn't stay ahead, basically. So with this game on Sunday, it's there for the taking. Like you said, the start of the season is one of those ones that said, yep, win. And that's our thing. Like, you've probably noticed, folks, that we don't actually talk about projections going into the game now, because
it's not worth the point.
No, that's it, man. I think we gave up, man, after the second week after the bye. Like,
I think it was just after the bye. Yeah, literally, I think it was pretty much at the bye. We were like, this has just gone wrong.
Yep. So, like, it's the game's there for the take, and the Raiders aren't a great team. You know, depending on how you get Davante Adams, you know, he could potentially be, like, he's always a threat, but, you know, he could be a threat enough to, you know, stop us from again. You know, it's going to come down to the defensive system, really, I guess. It's going to be, is this soft zone going to, when is the game, or cost is the game?
I'll stop the run as well, though, because you have got Josh Jacobs, who is, you know, potentially going to be, you know, is a very good running back playing for his contract. And I suppose one thing we do have to factor in, the Raiders are still technically in the hunt for the playoffs. So they do, this game means something for them, and they really will want to win this to keep themselves in that. They're only one game behind the Tenants in the playoff race in their division.
And they in terms of, like, for against us, they are going to travel well. So it's going to be, you know, there's going to be a lot of them in the stadium.
Yeah. I feel that's going to be feeling more like a Niners game, where it feels like that's their home stadium.
Exactly. Yeah, so
let's be honest, the Raiders, you know, spent a long time in Los Angeles themselves. Yep. So, you know, there is a lot of fans from Los Angeles on their own.
Still there, yep.
Yeah, you know, who are still the fans. So
that's it. Because a lot of people dispute that LA is still Raiders town, you know, because of the amount of time, like, they were there, and then also the Rams left, but the Raiders were still there for a wee bit, you know, before they then moved to Oakland, you know. But yeah, so it's the atmosphere's not, it's going to be quite, you know, a bit hostile, because it'll be like you said, it'll be like a night, like when the 49ers come to town for us. But depending on, I think it's going to be dependent on whether Mayfield can go tomorrow night or not. I think if they assess him today and they're like, do you know what, we could throw him in here. But I think the problem is you're going to have to heavily simplify your playbook, which, you know, is easier said than done, I guess. But
I don't know, because we run a similar style to what he was playing in Cleveland, just theirs is a lot more run. It was initially a run heavy. You know, technically ours is supposed to be a run heavy as well.
You know, technically,
you know, I'll do the big air quotes. Technically, you know, we are technically supposed to be a run first to get the play action going, sort of, you know, that's McVay's scheme. So this is a scheme that he's played under Stefanski. This is a similar system to what Stefanski runs. So, you know, he does have experience in this sort of system. So, you know, so, some of the, yeah, there'll be little niche things, but the concepts should be pretty similar to what he's ran for Cleveland. So hopefully, as we'll say, it shouldn't be too difficult for him to look at that playbook and go, oh yeah, I remember how to run that, I run that. And there's just be a few little niche things.
Yeah,
there may be some plays where, you know, he'll be thinking the wide receiver's breaking right and the guy will break left. It'll be airmail to nobody. But you're going to get that with any quarterback. You know, you look at the first couple of games with Stafford when he came to us, there was still air balls that you were like, you know, he weren't quite on the same. And it will be the same, but I do think if he does play and if he, you know, gets going, that he will actually give the team more of a chance to actually sneak the win. I feel more confident that we can drive down the field with the Mayfield to at least field goal position than we would do consistently than we would do with Walford.
Yep. As just what you're saying about the air ball thing, like, just while it popped back in my head that you're guaranteed with any quarterback doing the air ball, but like, surely it can't be as bad as that last throw Walford made.
No.
And again, like, looking at it, like, it reminds me of 2020 season in Seattle. Goff thrown an interception to Jamal Adams when there was no ram within about a good 10 to 20 yards of where he threw the ball. And when Wilford threw that, it gave me, you know, PTSD to Goff doing the exact same thing. And, you know, Goff was like, he did that not all the time, but he was prone to it. And it's like, that's what I'm saying about, like, I'd rather give Mayfield the chance because I don't want to see this, no offence to Wilford, I don't want to see this season out with him not being able to air the ball because Wilford hasn't got an arm. I think that showed. That was supposed to be a Hail Mary. You know, he was supposed to be launched out down the field and he couldn't. He couldn't for the life of him. You know, no one knows who he was aiming for. There was no one there. And if the game's going to be on the line and we need a play like that, you'd rather fling Mayfield in and take the shot.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't work. You can use Chris Well. We only signed him like 40 hours ago.
Yeah. This just be, if nothing else, right? You know what? It's live practice reps for you this week.
Exactly.
We'll get you ready. We'll have an extra few days and leading in. We'll get an extra few days of practicing to get you up for speed for next week. But, you know, even Wolford's first interception, though, it was like, why are you throwing it in what was basically almost triple coverage? On what planet are you as a quarterback? You should have gone on that and gone, no chance, I'll go, or just throw it away, or just run.
Yeah.
You don't throw it up, it's pretty much triple coverage.
You're like, we play in blue. Let's start there. Blue. Aim for the blue guys, not the other ones. Blue.
Yeah, like I said, the first one was like, there's literally three guys are pretty much around them. What are you even throwing it for? I don't know, but anyway, you could see McVay on the sideline when they were coming off, go, that was on me. But you look at your quarterback and go, you should have looked, gone, yeah, the safety's covering and the linebacker's covering and the corner's covering. I'm not going to throw their bollocks to that. You know, move to the secondary.
There's three of them over there. Like, right, so there must be a guy that's free
somewhere. Or, you know what? Stuff this. I'll just run and get 2 yards and, you know what? We'll live for another day. We were actually in field goal range pretty much. So we could have, you know, it would have been a long field goal from Matt Gay, but he can do it from that range.
Yeah, that's that. Yeah. Yeah, because he put a 54-yarder away.
Yeah.
Which is one of his longest ones. I think his longest one's still 58 for the season. He's done 57 as well. So it's one of his best ones for the year. So, you know, like you said, we're in field goal range. Like, you know, take a couple of minutes, bugger it, kick it. 3 points is better than a pick.
That's what I say. 3 points in the game, and all of a sudden, you know, that 3 points could have been the difference of the pressure on Seattle at the end of the game of, you know, to maybe flex Seattle to, oh my God, right, we've really, you know, and it could have put that extra pressure on them.
Well, that's it. But that hindsight's a wonderful thing, I guess. But in terms of this game, like, well, you know, we've got nothing to lose, I guess. But I think we're desperate for a win. I think we just want to see a win again, just to know what it feels like to win, because it's been a hell of a long time. Seven, it is technically, because with the bye week. So, but I guess we'll just There'll be positives to take out of the game regardless, because we did, you know, despite a loss there on Sunday, we did have quite a good few positives to take out of it. So as long as the team are learning, they're developing, we're getting something out of it, and, you know, we're not getting absolutely hammered, which we expected against the Chiefs. The Chiefs didn't do it, so I don't think we're going to get, if we're not going to win this game, we're not going to get hammered off of the Raiders. It's going to be it'll be a close one, just like last week is, but hopefully we've got that wee edge just to get us over that line, you know, especially being home, you know, give the fans something to go home, and give the guys in the UK, you know,
something
to go home happy on that long flight home.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this game, as I say, it's going to be either a close-fought game that we can win, or I know you said we didn't get battered by the Chiefs and everyone else, but this just feels like one of them games where it could be a cricket score type of game with how the Raiders are very much either they lose or they win quite comfortably. They don't seem to have those sort of games
in between.
Yeah, and I'm worried that, you know, but we'll see. If nothing else, it's reps for the second, third string players again, and let's just see what we can
do. That's it, yeah. And will you be staying up for it, or will you be like, nope, I value sleep more, then I'll just watch it the next day?
I don't know. I'll see how I feel when I come to that time, to be really honest, whether I'm going to stay awake and watch it. I think the problem is if you do lose against someone like the Raiders, you kind of like, do I really want to watch a loss the next day?
Well, that's it. For me, I suppose this is where having four kids, two of which are, you know, 2 years old, works in my favour, because I'm up quite regularly through the night. So if I don't decide to stay up for it, I'll be up and I'll be at least taking a like flick on, see what's going on, you know,
yeah,
in the 5 minutes I'm awake, and I'm like, right, nope, back to sleep. That's me. So it's one of those ones that I'll be up at some point during the game. I'll probably see how things are going and catch it, but if not, I'll just watch the highlight, the 15-minute highlights, you know, the next day. If it's bad, then I'll just watch the 5-minute highlights.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, I'll just watch 5 minutes. I can't do any more than that.
And it's bad because, like, last season, even the games we lost, like, still analyse the games. Like, like last year, I enjoyed watching the coaches' films off of Game Pass. If you've not watched the coaches' game film, folks, it's basically every play of the game, you see it twice, you see it sideline view, and you see it, yeah, like, goal view. And it's obviously for them to then break the film down and analyse it and whatnot.
Yeah.
So you don't get sound on it, but it's good to watch and get essentially the full play in real time, replayed right after it from a different perspective, because then you can see how the players actually move and adjust through the play as opposed to from the sideline. And that, like, even in games we lost last year, I would still watch that to analyse like a lot. But this year, I've just, like you said, I think if you lose a game, you're kind of like, the way this season's gone, you're kind of like, do I really want to sit and watch it? And it's like, you know, what, you know, regardless of how the team goes, we've been through some dark days, Rams. This isn't, well, although it feels a bad season, and, you know, record-wise, it's one of the worst. It's the injury factor is,
yeah,
but it's not that we're a bad team, as opposed to, you know, like going like 2-14 or whatever.
Yeah, it's not as if
we're just awful.
Yeah, this is not as if this is our starters and we're like, oh my god, yeah, our starters are trash across the ground. It's a case of our starters are out and the backups we've got just aren't good enough, you know, to play. Plugging one or two of these guys in, you know, with the experienced starters, you can get away with. When you're plugging in, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 at times that we're having to do, you know, you are basically playing a pre-season team basically, and sometimes at this point we're not even at that point. Well, you know, and it's just what it is, you know, we've just got to get through this season, get people healthy, get people back, you know, have a good draft, you know, maybe see what's available in free agency if we can afford it, you know, and then right, let's start again next year and we'll move on. You know, there was doom and gloom after our first Super Bowl, which we lost the season after. We weren't this bad, but we weren't, you know, we were still pretty poor from what we expected to go straight back.
But if memory serves me right, we weren't really struggling with injuries as much. We just,
no,
we weren't firing in all cylinders. So
no,
it was just...
we had a Super Bowl, the classic Super Bowl hangover, as everyone calls it. You know, we just didn't seem to. And yeah, we did have a couple of injuries to key players, but not to the extremes that we've had this year.
This year, yeah.
Where we're literally, you know, we're swapping the O-line around week in, week out. And, you know, we're down to third and fourth string DBs because, you know, we've got nothing else out there, basically, because we are struggling, you know.
That's it. But there's only a few more weeks to go. Obviously, so we've got the Raiders this week. We've then got Green Bay. Then Christmas night, we're playing the Broncos, which... Out of, and then we've got the who is it we've got after that again? It's the Tenants. It's the Tenants. And then we've got Seahawks to finish with. Forgot about the Tenants game. I think I was blacking that out, so because I'm not looking for that one. But you know, out of those games, like there is one winnable game at least out of those, regardless of how we're playing now. You know, if we don't beat the Broncos on Christmas Day, like. You know, there is no God.
Christmas is ruined.
Yes, exactly. You know.
Yeah, I don't care. You can buy me a Ferrari. I don't care if we lose this game. It's still Christmas is still going to be ruined.
You know, because, you know, Russell Wilson has more toilets than he has touchdown passes at present. And I'd like to keep it that way.
Yeah.
Yes. So out of all the games like that's 100% winnable. And regardless of how the next couple, you know, games go, we'll still remain 100% winnable.
Yeah. Last week's game was winnable. This week's game is winnable. Packers, I'd say the Packers, because they're not playing well either. They're really struggling. Like I say, you know, there are, as you say, quite a, you know, out of these games we've got left, most of them are pretty winnable now. If our luck goes the right way, I think it's for us now. It's not a case of skill; it's just sheer luck. But you know, and there's still injuries that other teams can suffer. You know, as the weeks go on. You know, I don't think I wouldn't surprise you. Aaron Donald's not gone on IR because he basically went, "Don't even think about it," because I still want to play. Because I'm sure he'd love to give Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers a punch in the face as he's going. You know, so it wouldn't surprise me if the guy's just like, "Just keep me here." You know, he was initially saying 2-3 weeks.
Yep.
Yeah. So it wouldn't surprise me if he's going to be trying to get his way back.
I don't think we've seen the last of Aaron Donald this season. I agree with that. I hoped he will be our little Christmas surprise. And we'll come out and just... I think he'll just come out and see if I could just sack Russell Wilson once. That's fine. I'll go off. Nah, I'm done. And just bench me for the rest of the game. I've done what I've set to do. I want to make sure that guy knows that wherever he goes, I'm there.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
but,
exactly.
That'll be for... We'll talk about that more in our pre-match
upcoming
for that one. Yep. But moving on, finally, to the last segment of the podcast, the Rams World Cup. So if you're not been following what's going on our social medias to celebrate the last 4 years, and because there's World Cup going on currently in Qatar, we're having our own World Cup where we're looking back at some of the best Rams wins over the last 4 years. So the second round happened this week. Voting was up on Facebook and Twitter. The results are in. So... progressing from the second round is the 2018 Week 5 win over the Seahawks, 33-31. And then the quarterfinals, that is going to take on the Super Bowl victory over the Bengals from last year, who beat the Cardinals winning 20-21 on the road during the regular season. That Cardinals game didn't register a single vote. It was a clean sweep for the Bengals game. The Seahawks victory was 60-40 over the Cardinals, 34-0 opening week in 2018, just to give you results. Next matchup was the old 49ers one, the 2018 Week 7 against the NFC Championship game last year. Unsurprisingly, the NFC Championship game won 95%. So they will progress to the quarterfinals where they'll take on the 2018 Week 4 win over Vikings 38-31, who won over the Eagles from 2020 Week 2, 76-24% that was. Next game, Seahawks, a Seahawks doubleheader, the 2020 wild card win, where Goff came out of basically from injury to win the game. That beat Seahawks from 2021 week 3 last year, a score of 61-39. And they will unsurprisingly meet the Chiefs Monday night football game from 2018 as they put away the Bucks from 2020, 93-7. Then, again, unsurprisingly, a lot of these results are unsurprising results, let's be honest. The NFC Championship win over the Saints took on the week one from last year, Bears win, the Saints, 90-73. I was actually surprised that someone voted for the Bears game, but I suppose it was the first game in SoFi and it was the beginning of Matthew Stafford era, so maybe that was why.
Yeah, maybe.
And then the last game was 2021 Week 6 Giants against the divisional round Bucks game. Unsurprisingly, the Bucks game won 95-5. So, recapping the quarterfinals. So, Bengals Super Bowl win will take on the 2018 Seahawks Week 5 win. NFC Championship 49ers game will take on the 2018 Week 4 Vikings win. 2020 Wild Card win over the Seahawks will take on the Monday Night Football game against the Chiefs. And the NFC Championship game, the Saints will take on a divisional round against the Buccaneers. I don't think any of those games that made it to the quarterfinals are really any surprise, are they, Andy?
Nah, I don't think so. I think it was kind of what we could sort of expected, to be brutally honest.
Yep. So, it's not really a surprise for me either. And just looking at it in terms of who I think will progress to the semifinals, I think I'll be surprised if it's not the obvious choices. But what is I don't even know why I'm appealing to people here. The point is to vote on what you think is the better game. It's not in terms of like, oh, it was a Super Bowl or whatever. Like it's supposed to be a case of the better game. But you know, if people feel like this game is better because of what it meant, that's fine. Everyone's entitled to their opinion. And we'll see what happens when it comes to the final. We actually talked about it on the WhatsApp group we've got for us guys earlier this week, and we kind of said our feelings of the choice that people make and what we predict the final will be, but we're not going to say any more on that. We'll talk about it more, you know, when we get to the final. So the quarterfinal will happen this week, so expect to see the posts on Facebook and Twitter. Stick your vote in. We'll tell you how they got on next week, and then it'll be the semi-finals, and then going into our kind of last 2 weeks, we'll have the third place playoff, and then the final on the final week of the season. And then at the end of the year, we'll crown what is the greatest Rams win over the last 4 years, but I think we're between one or two ourselves, aren't we, Andy?
Yeah, we have a feeling it's going to be one or the other.
Yeah,
so certain two, but yeah.
Something to look forward to, isn't it? You know?
Aye.
I look forward to hopefully coming on next week and talking about a win, as I'm sure you are, eh?
Oh, God, yeah, I'll be quite happy. I won't even know what to say anymore if we have a win. It'd be like, what do we do again, please? I can't remember.
Well, we'll make for an interesting podcast. Yeah, but that's us for this evening, folks. Thank you so much for listening. Andy, as always, mate, pleasure to talk to you about the Rams. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate you've been running about with work and all that and like having to fire down your dinner to come on tonight. So appreciate it, mate. Thanks a lot.
No worries, mate. Glad to be on, and hopefully catch you next week with a nice W in the bag.
Yep, fingers crossed. But that does it for the season, folks. Thanks so much for listening. Take care, and we'll catch you all next week to discuss what's going to be a Rams win, because to hell with it. Got to be positive, don't we?
Yeah, positive. We're going to win this.
Yep. So that's us, folks. Take care, and we'll see you soon.